Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mast.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
All right, it's 4:04 in the evening, raining cats and dogs in Boston. It was a second ago when I just looked outside the window.
Oh, it was. It's Judgment Day out there.
Love it. Felger and Mast here from our beautiful new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast that has followed us here, you see our beautiful new set. It is legit, Mast. You enjoying it?
Oh, it's fabulous. No, it looks great.
It's a legit room. Legit room.
We just got to make sure we keep Zoe out of here.
Great job on the radio side. Looks beautiful on TV, so it's all good. We're talking Red Sox, All-Star Weekend, some of this Patriot stuff. Gronkowski will report on time. Who caved? And are you worried about the young talent on the team? Do they have enough young talent on the team? So all of it is on the table. Couple open lines for you if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. We continue with Ron and Pembroke on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello. Felgie.
Yes, Ronnie.
Okay, Felgie, you finally got your first-time caller. Okay, I want to talk to Mast a little bit about the Red Sox.
Go.
Okay, I understand his outlook. I understand a lot of things about this. I'm an older guy, and I go way back with the Red Sox. But you got to give him a little bit of credit, Mast. Come on.
Ron, I've given him plenty of credit.
You got to have some mercy on them. They're in first place. They're the best team in baseball. They have the best record. The Yankees play the same exact schedule.
Not really.
They don't.
No, they haven't played exactly the same schedule. The Yankees have played Cleveland. You haven't. There's some differences in the schedule.
Well, we played Houston. They played Houston. They played Houston at home.
They went five and two against Houston.
Houston's the best team. Let's face it. Come on, you know that. And I'll admit, Mast, I'm gonna be the most honest guy in the world. I think the Yankees are a better team.
Okay, so Ron, look.
I do.
First of all, everything you said at the beginning, I've given the Red Sox plenty of credit. They had a fabulous first half. They went 68-30. They're on pace to win 112 games. They've had a fabulous first half. But there is a fly in the ointment or in the argument when you look at it and you say they haven't done well against the best teams. So fact, I'm giving them plenty of credit. If they beat these teams in October, then none of it will mean anything and you'll be right. If they lose to these teams in October, you tell me what are the 112 wins going to mean.
Cam and Taunton, what do you got for us today?
First of all, Jay Stu, congrats, buddy. And, man, this new studio is beautiful on TV, guys. And you're lucky to be there.
Thank you.
I just want to say this. We're getting ready to start the season. And for the first time in I don't know how long, I don't think a Super Bowl is a realistic possibility. It's not the Brady Belichick stuff is on the side. I mean, what you guys are saying, though, I just don't think this roster is very good. I mean, you've let so much talent go out the doors in recent years. Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, Nate Solder, all gone or traded for peanuts. And it's just like, you know, you hear all these people saying, oh, the Patriots have this special formula. They don't overreach for guys. It's like, yeah, the same day, ultimately, you need talent on your roster. You can't turn chicken poop into chicken salad with every player on your team, despite how great Bill Belichick is.
Well,
it's just like...
I mean, you know what their special formula is, right?
Taking the air out of the ball?
No. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Tom Brady makes up for a lot of problems. A lot. And Bill Belichick coaches up, you know, and takes care of the rest, basically.
Right. Bill can take a fifth, sixth-round draft pick and turn him into a second-rounder.
So, like, Brady's still there to make up for their shortcomings on offense and outscore their problems on defense. So, I mean, I don't think anyone's saying they're going to crater. But it feels like when you look at that roster and you look at, quote unquote, the number of good young, how many good young players do they have? You can't tell me they have more than a handful. It feels like they're in trouble in a couple of years. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Well, unless these picks in the last 2 years pan out.
But that's just what I'm saying. Even if they pan out, so you have a running back, you know what that makes you? That's like a baseball team that steals a lot of bases. Neat. It means you suck. Usually when your running back's your best player, you suck. So it's like, even if Sony Michel works out, that's not gonna matter.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I mean, and look, I don't know about the guys in the later round, some of the slot guys they've taken, all that sort of stuff.
They need their passing game players to work out.
Well, that's true. Although, you know, that brings up a whole different argument in a year or two as to who's going to get them the ball. But we'll figure that one out later. They ignored the draft there for a good chunk of time.
Or,
yeah, I mean, in 2017, Mike, they ignored the draft.
Throwing picks away for the likes of Coney Ealy or Brandon Cooks or players like that. You'd maybe have more to say that, okay, we have some building blocks here going forward, but you don't, because Bill's throwing away picks for dumb trades.
And they keep cheating. So don't forget that. If you stop cheating, you didn't cheat so much, maybe you'd have more draft picks. So that's another thing to consider.
I mean, someday when the definitive history all comes out, I would like to know what the logic was in the approach to the draft last year. I mean, since when do all of a sudden you just trade all your picks and go for veteran players? Since when? Like, that one was a little odd, so don't you think?
Again, you thought that was a going away party for Brady.
I do. I think they were loading up for Brady, and then also to fortify the roster for the transition to Garoppolo.
Josiah in San Antonio, go ahead quickly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Erod is so injury prone. When I looked at him with that collision he had at first base, I'm thinking he's going to get up and shake it off. Also, the injury last year where he fell down in a bullpen. I mean, this guy is injury prone, and I hear Rice and I hear Lyons talk about, oh, he has good command and he's really, really awesome for the Sox. And like Murray said, once the playoffs start, the gutless bums are going to show who they really are, and pitching is really going to eat us alive. Appreciate it.
Well, I think Erod in particular is why anyone put, I feel there's a whole intangible thing with him that concerns me. I think Baltimore saw him, why he was, you know, usually a guy, a left-hander who throws like that is usually not available for a reliever, even someone as good as Andrew Miller.
Correct.
You know, you don't make that trade unless you've seen something there. And I think we've sort of seen it. I mean, maybe it's a durability thing or an injury thing or a toughness thing. I don't know what it is. There's just a thing there. And yeah, he should be back from this ankle. And you said it looks like a high ankle, which is problematic, but you should be back. Are you convinced he will be?
No. No. I don't know how you could be. I mean, look, it's always something with that guy. Always. You know, again, whether it's a recurrence of the knee issue or him showing up out of shape early on, like, it could be any one of a million things. But it's always something. He's having a good year. And then, you know, you can call this thing freaky or fluky or however you want to describe it. It still happened. And to me, it was your classic NFL ankle injury. Like, it reminded me of the one Gronk had in the AFC Championship that 1 year when Bernard Pollard pulled him down, fell on the outside of his ankle. Yep. Felt like the same type of thing. And so, you know, Gronk had to recover in 2 weeks. This guy's got 6, maybe even 8. But he better be pitching in September.
He actually has the best ERA for Boston starting pitchers stacking up here against 5-plus games against teams that are over 500. His ERA is 3.85. So he's the best from Porcello on down. Sale, Price. Price is a 7-2.
And I'm pitching David Price over Eddie Rodriguez.
See, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm with Maz on this. These stats lend credence to wanting to start
him. Why? Those are regular season stats.
Oh, so you want to go postseason on Price?
No, not really.
Again, Price is a 7-2. He stinks.
I'm just telling you, Eddie Rodriguez, man, there's something not. It doesn't all add up with him.
Oh, no, I know, because David Price, the math totally works.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, I mean, 2 and 2 is 5 with Price. It's totally logical there.
I just think he's more talented.
I'm just telling you that the end result is this. I'm not telling you Eduardo Rodriguez is better than Price. I'm telling you that I think they're the same. I just think Price has regressed. They're the same. So I'll stick Price in the bullpen and go with Erod.
Ference in Brighton, what do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, this is in a related vein, with the trade deadline coming up, if you guys think with those question marks at the back end of the rotation, or maybe Devers the Bears at third, if you think any moves should be done, or if you think they're sitting pretty in first, keep it going. Ain't broke, don't fix it.
They need bullpen. They need bullpen. I'm getting a bullpen before I'm getting an arm, even if Eddie Rodriguez is out all year. Sale, Price, Porcello. 3 Cy Young guys, 3 guys who, well, Sale doesn't, but who should be $20, $30 million pitchers, and that's it. That's your team. That's how you're constructed. That's what you are. You make your bed, you line it, and you hope that they figure it out. That's it. I don't do anything. And, you know, unless someone comes for free, like unless, you know, Bartolo Colon, the giant coconut head of Bartolo Colon falls out of the coconut tree and you get him for nothing. Fine. Like I'll do those sort of things, but I'm not giving up any assets for starting pitchers. All for the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, the good news is they don't have any assets to give. So they're not going to be able to get a quality starting pitcher given what they have.
What do you make of their reported interest in Moustakas?
I don't think it's real.
Could it possibly be that they are including Devers in some of these things and Moustakas is the Devers replacement and Devers goes for, you know, Machado and Britton or just Britton and Bill Pennell or whatever like that, that's what's going on.
I mean, I rule out nothing, but I have a hard time believing that that's ultimately where they're going to end up. I mean, if you're going to trade, isn't Moustakas on a 1-year deal?
Yes. It's a rental.
Okay, so if you're going to trade Devers, why wouldn't you trade him for Machado? Right? In other words, if you're...
Maybe he is. Maybe you are. And Moustakas is another deal to just hold it all. I mean, what's Moustakas going to cost you?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to move Devers.
It's not Devers for Moustakas.
No. But I don't think they're going to get a hitter. I don't. I think that they feel about their offense the way you were just talking about the rotation. Like, we've made moves. The offense is what it is. Bogarts and Betts and those guys have to hit. Moreland has to hit. JD Martinez will hit, and we'll see what we get. Like, I think that's where they could pick up a role player, like another Steve Pierce
right.
or something like that. But to me, it's bullpen, 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 and they got to get a guy, I think, who can also close.
Red Sox have the best record in baseball. They're on pace for a franchise record in wins. Yet everyone in this studio, except for me, who hasn't even declared, has him out in the first round.
Shocker. No opinion from you.
Right. Which I'm glad you pointed that out. You haven't declared.
No prediction.
Because you don't believe in them either.
I told you that just because you make a prediction does not mean you have an opinion. Predictions are not opinions.
You're straddling the fence.
Predictions are like what, Murray? They're like a certain body part, which everyone has.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The old starfish.
Or Felger's afraid to be wrong and we play the audio back.
So
I like that.
Best record in baseball. Everyone here in this studio except for me has him out in the first round, and Murray's asterisk is back out.
Sure is.
How do y'all feel about that?
So is a starfish.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Felger and Mez, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Big honor. I know this hasn't happened very often in a long time. So, you know, I appreciate it. I'm going to try to have some fun with it, too. So that's why we're all here, too. So we're grip and rip and try to get some wins.
Maz, how do you feel about Chris Sale starting tonight?
I can't stand it. I absolutely cannot stand it. So to me, in my mind, and I don't know, maybe I'm just an idiot. I mean, it could be that simple. In my mind, I looked at it and said, Sale pitches the Wednesday before the break. They'll come up with some bullcrap excuse to keep him out of the All-Star game. Then they'll pitch him, you know, on the fifth game out of the break. He'll get 2 weeks off. That's what they should do with Sale. Now he's pitching in the middle of it. And I know it's only going to be an inning or two, tops. But I just assume they shut him down. I was expecting them to come up with some sort of bogus injury. Again, hangnail on his toe, stiff neck, hemorrhoids, take your pick, diverticulitis. He's got an inflamed colon, like whatever it is.
I like the one you had before. Pharyngitis.
Pharyngitis. Give me pharyngitis.
The ailment that had never been heard of before nor since Pedro Martinez and Manny Ramirez every other year.
I'd have taken pink eye. Whatever it is, give me anything. Anything that would have kept him out of this game. Just come up with some sort of bullcrap excuse. And I know Major League Baseball discourages teams and players from doing this. I don't care. I don't care about the All-Star game. I want this guy nowhere near this game.
But it seems, you know, inconsistent to how they've handled him all year, where they've went easy in spring training, went easy in April, ramped him up, went slow because his player has a history of fading. And so they've done all this with Chris Sale to this point, and now here's a golden opportunity to give them what they used to do. Theo Epstein, I guess it was Epstein who really did it, did it every year with Pedro, did it with John Lester a couple times, and they're not doing it. Such an easy chance. Blow off the stupid All-Star game.
Oh, gosh, it's such an easy move. And look, they did it with Lester. And Lester was built for durability, still is. I mean, go look at Lester's yearly starts, game started. Never misses. Never. I mean, every once in a while, something flares up. And even with a guy like him, who has an ass like Joe Murray, for crying out loud. Absolutely big ass.
What does that mean for people who don't know Joe Murray?
Joe Murray's got a big bucket, but he's a sturdy fellow. I don't say it as any sort of insult, Joe. I'm just telling you that the good pitchers, the durable ones, it's like your thing with Larry Fitzgerald. Big asses. Mm-hmm. Take a good look at Lester's ass, Clemens' ass, Luis Severino. Check out the ass on him sometime. Huge. These guys, they're built to last. Lester was one of those guys, and even with him, they would give him 10 days, 2 weeks off in the middle of the year. They would build it in such a way that he'd catch a big break. Sale, I mean, he's held together by chicken wire, for crying out loud. Like, to me, he's more than anybody needs a break in the middle of the year.
What a golden opportunity to do
that. Oh, this was the time to do it, too.
And, as you said earlier.
And they're pitching him in the third game after the break.
They're pitching
him
on game three.
He's pitching Sunday. He's a scheduled starter for Sunday, at least based on the list I saw.
What an easy way to give him 10 days, you know, give him whatever start it would take on the front end, bag him out of the game, and then pitch him fifth, you know, pitch him first on the way in, fifth on the way out.
Exactly right.
As we discussed. And whatever, you know, is that a 12, 13-day break at the end of the day? Talk about a way to save some bullets.
Right, and if you reset.
Instead, he's starting the stupid game for the third straight year.
And so if the concern there is, well, we're going to reset him to a point where we're going to be starting, you know, he's going to take a step or two back. There'll be some rust there. So what? What do I need him sharp for in July? You're playing the Orioles and the Tigers. He could kick the ball to the plate and still get those clowns out.
And I also point out that thing about third straight year. It's not like it's his first time and it's a special thing for him. And he, you know, a guy makes his first All-Star game and he's picked to start the All-Star game for the first time. Maybe you treat that a little differently. Like, that's every player's dream and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so fine. Start the effing game.
Lie.
It's his third straight start the All-Star game, right?
Complete. Just come up with a good lie.
And he done it the previous 2 years?
Yes.
That's correct.
In fact,
yeah.
You don't even need a good lie. Just come up with a lie.
So what? It's not even special for him anymore.
Agreed. So to me, it's a complete waste.
Oh, what are you doing?
And Murray, what was the email you had earlier? Remember you had an email from a listener who said there was a benefit to them pitching Sale in the third game out of the break?
Yeah,
Do you
still
have
here.
That?
Yes. So if the Red Sox held him back for the Orioles, he would start 14 games on five days rest. By resuming earlier, Sale will actually be able to start three games in the second half on 6 days rest, including two starts against the Yankees. So by starting a couple of days sooner, he'll actually get more rest. Starting the second half against the Tigers also ensures he's going to have four starts against the Yankees instead of three, including his final three starts of the season.
Okay.
So I'm fine with all that. That's fine.
Yeah, generally, except the one part I would say is this. The final two Yankee series of the year are in the final 2 weeks of September. You can't reconfigure your pitching rotation between now and then.
And does that also, you know, suppose no rainouts?
Well, like, right, exactly. There's another variable there. Like, there's all kinds of things that could change between now and then. So if you have to give him a day later in the year, you're on pace for 112 wins. You can't reconfigure your rotation in the middle of September to give Chris Sale an extra day and then pitch against the Yankees?
I still think, but if that's why they're doing it, at least there's some logic to it. You can still pitch him first on the way in, skip the game, and pitch him third on the way out. That's still going to give him a good runway.
Correct. Yeah, the big one is tonight. Like, I cannot believe that they didn't come up with some bullcrap cockamamie excuse to keep him out of this game. They should have pulled him out of his last start a little early, saying he had inflammation in his left pinky.
Easy.
Just come up with something stupid. Set the stage then. Okay? Again, he's got an inflamed colon or something. Whatever it is, keep him out of the game.
How do you diagnose that? Don't answer that. Okay, back to your phones on this. We got some Patriots stuff as well. Donna is in Manchester. Hi, Donna.
Hey, guys, I just want to talk. I am so disgusted with the Patriots. I'm one of the biggest fans ever, but how have they messed this up so badly? What they do last December, you get in a room, Kraft, Belichick, Brady. You say, Tommy, this is your last year. It's your going away tour, 2019. You go out, you have your old thing of the league, and then you come back and you say, next year it's Jimmy's team. Franchise Jimmy for a year. Tell me they can't come up with that kind of money. You do that, and you got everything lined up. Instead, they push Belichick, and Belichick acts like a petulant child, and he does what he does, and it's just, how does a franchise that goes from the top of the league impeccable to a laughingstock?
Okay, because they gagged on it, Donna. But you're not keeping Garoppolo on the franchise tag. That's just the one thing that's not going to happen. It's just unrealistic.
I'd be willing to bet that there are people in that organization that were willing to do it.
Of course. Bill's willing to do it. Of course. Everyone but the guy who's writing the check. It doesn't matter. Yes, I think they should have done it too. It ain't my money. I'm not paying the guy $25 million guaranteed to hold a clipboard. That's up to the guys that are getting the check. That's up to Jonathan and Robert who are writing the check. They were never going to do it. No owner was going to do that. No, and I, you know, we can talk about as much as you want, Maz. It may never get through that thick skull of yours, but no owner was ever going to do that. So the way to, you only way to do it was to trade Brady. Hard thing to do. And they still should have done it, but Robert gagged on it. So that's what happened, and that's where you are.
No, you're right. We're never going to agree, and my skull is very thick.
I mean, there's just no way they were going to franchise Garoppolo and pay him that money to back up. Just was not going to happen, and it's not just a them thing. No one would have done it. No one would have done it. Not even the Green Bay Packers nonprofit organization, where it makes no difference what they make.
I bet you Belichick would have done it.
Of course, it's not his money. Yes. Yes, of course the coach would do it.
So what if he could have made up the money somewhere else? In other words, what if the team payroll remained the same and he went to Kraft and said, it's not any more money out of your pocket. I'm just distributing it differently.
Yeah, but Brady still would have been.
I mean, okay, so right, so Murray's hitting on the big thing too now. You would have had to pay Brady more to bring him up to what Garoppolo was then going to make $11 more million in Brady? How do you think G would have felt about that?
No, she might have been felt that he were underappreciated.
So it's not just $25 million, it's really $36 or whatever it is to get Brady back up there.
I'd have done it.
Not, of course you would have. It's not your money. That's the point. So listen, that was never going to, you would have had to have traded Brady. They didn't want to do it. Hard to blame them, except it would have been the ballsy Don thing to do, and they didn't do it. They didn't stick to their principles. That the one thing that mattered, that we've all been over that. What I'm still stunned at is that they still haven't all come together. And there's still time now. Now, this is the week, right? I said it would happen soon after the Super Bowl. I thought it would happen before the offseason program. I thought it would happen by the, you know, I thought it would have happened by now. But it's not too late. There's a week for Gronkowski to be re-signed and re-upped, Brady to be re-signed and re-upped, and to have this whole sort of kumbaya, everything's in order, the house is in order, we've all come to Jesus, all ready to go, no days off, on, you know, one for the thumb, blah, 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 that's coming. That I do you think that's coming?
Do you think it's a week? They have a week, or do they have 6 weeks?
I think doing it before training camp starts is really the time to do it.
See, I think it's going to be 6 weeks.
So you think we're going to go to camp with some of this uncertainty and some of this crap still floating around?
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean,
but I bet you it all gets sorted out by the time they start playing for real. So it might take a little while. Who the hell knows where Brady's been? Bill's been on the islands.
Sure
right?
has. I passed him on the bike path the other day.
How did that go?
I did wave to him.
He spit at you?
I'm not going to tell you where he was. I don't want to blow his spot. But this is what Bill does. This is true. He sings. He's got earbuds in. And
Tommy used to work on the dock.
I don't know what he was singing. He's going this way, I'm going that.
Union went on strike.
But I swear to God, this is the second time I've done it. I passed him on this bike path.
Oh. We'll give it a shot.
And this time I saw him coming from a mile away, so I got a little obnoxious. I was sort of waving on my bike. Like, Bill! Bill! And so maybe he sings purposely to throw people off so people won't stop him and talk to him. I'm busy singing. But he sings. He rides his bike and he sings.
Felger is a raging a-hole. Pass me on his bike. I gave him the finger. He sucks.
So, yeah, he's singing something. I can't tell what it is.
Mike sucks.
You've got a week. So it starts a week from Thursday. So they got 9 days here to sign these guys up, get them in the fold, stop the crap. And I mean, I I thought this was all going to happen after the Super Bowl and they'd figure it all out. I can't believe it's gone this far.
I bet you they get it sorted by the opener. I think there's going to still be some residue.
Well, that's actually good for us. Okay. But
the more residue, the better.
It would not surprise me though, if they, you know, all family business is settled, so to speak, here in the next 9 days. And they hit the ground running day one in training camp. We're talking about this and Red Sox. Back to you right after the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mazz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones here on Felger and Mazz as we're working through the new system in the new studio. The call screener is still a little buggy, so I don't know what you're calling on. We just have to go longest order of wait, and we'll see what we get. It's a potpourri. Frank in Philadelphia. What do you got for us? You're up next with Felger and Mazz. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have an inflamed colon. as far as the bullpen goes, number one need, bullpen, because bottom line, Cora puts a reliever in at the start of an inning only because he can't trust them in the middle of an inning when a runner's on base because they cough it up. too, even if they put him at the start of an inning. If you put Joe Kelly in the eighth inning, you're up by one run, you're screwed because they're going to either tie or you're going to go ahead. Two, schedule. All they have to do is split with the Yankees. The 10-game the Yankees split, go 500, beat the crap out of the rest of the league, and then because they play better against the rest of the league than the Yankees do, then you win the pennant. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, so, Maz, if they go 5-5 with the Yanks the rest of the way, you won't be happy.
Well, no, I think it still leaves them vulnerable, is what I'm telling you. Now, 5-5, at the end of the day, that would be what? 9-10 against the Yankees? I mean, it's a big sample, so that's, you know, not bad. I'd like to see them win in New York. Okay, to me, that's a big one. Win a series in New York. Go down there and don't crap your pants in the eighth inning.
Bullpen, bullpen, bullpen.
Yes.
To me, the bullpen guy to put out there is Pomerantz. He's the one coming off the injury. He's the one that's sort of having trouble finding his footing as a starter. He's the one that goes out there to me.
I know. So, again, do you think he's as effective as Price?
No, but I want my more effective pitcher starting, not relieving. So David Price starts.
Okay, so I just don't think that – I don't know how effective Price is as a starter. So we disagree. We disagree. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to change my mind.
I mean –
I feel the way I do about Price.
I mean, and you're founded. I mean, you have the stats, then the data, the past data is in your favor. But at some point, you have to sort of project and say, is this because we've always gotten that result? Is that going to continue, or is ultimately you going to have a breakthrough? And I'm sorry, he's just, you know,
he just doesn't inspire any confidence in me when he goes into New York in a regular season game on Sunday night and wets himself on the mound.
I understand that. I understand. I mean, everyone's holding their breath. But, I mean, let me ask you this. If he's healthy, is he going to want to go to the bullpen?
No.
Okay, so how's that going to work out?
Okay, so, but look, you got
Marshall Hook said yesterday, then cut him. Like, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
So, well, look.
The only reason he went out there last year, I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, the only reason he went out there last year is because he was coming off that injury, and it sort of made sense.
Okay, so he's been pissed off in the past, and he's pitched well in the past. Ultimately, I'm doing what's best for my team. I don't think they will. Okay, I think they're going to start him. But if he's more effective as a reliever, I will pitch him as a reliever. I'll give you an out, though. And when I say out, maybe myself an out. If he faces the Yankees in September and pitches well, it could go a long way towards changing my mind. I need to see him go against some real iron in a big spot to build some confidence. For me, that's what I need to see. And the bullpen thing, they got to get another bullpen guy. If you think you are going to waltz through the postseason without winning some sort of tight extra inning game, you're not. So, look, 2004 is a great example of that. The two games that they won against the Yankees here to push it to Game 6, those were tight games. And, in fact, so was Game 6 in New York. You needed a bullpen for all three of those games. Game 4 and 5, the Ortiz games, and then Game 6, the Bloody Sock game down there. You got to have relievers.
Henry and Brockton, you're up next with Felger Maz. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I had a question or a comment. I mean, who do you believe has to win the division more in the East, with the Yankees and Red Sox? Because I believe the rotations are kind of a wash. I mean, you have the two aces, you have Sale and Severino. Then after that, who do you have, you know, between the Yankees, you know, Yankees putting up against Boston or the other way around?
I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't get that. What the question is, who needs the division more?
Yeah, I put that at even odds.
And is the equation there who's better off 2, 3, 4, 5 because that's who's starting the next round? Or is it who's got the better ace for you to advance? Like, how do you – I don't even understand how you would handicap that.
Yeah, I would say that the value in winning the division is the same for both teams. The Red Sox have played really well on the road this year. Okay, I think they'd be better served to be at Fenway Park for, you know, for an extra game in any series, especially if it's New York or Houston.
Severino and Sale.
Oh, it's close. I mean, honestly, I'd lean Sale there. And I'll tell you why, because Severino crapped his pants in October last year.
Thank you.
I mean, he wasn't good either.
And a little bit more of a wild card, don't you think?
Yeah, so now look, he's younger, so it feels like maybe he's starting to figure it out, but October, he could not contain his or harness his emotions last year. I think that was apparent.
We've got Carl in Grafton. He's up next with Felger Maz. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As a fan of baseball, it's probably the one thing I disagree with you on, Felger. I mean, your hate for the game is obvious, but I think the All-Star game is necessary because it's the only place you get to see this kind of showcase. Like, in basketball, you have several good players on the floor at one time. Baseball, you can't really do that.
Carl, let me ask you something.
Because,
can I cut you off and ask you, are you a Red Sox fan?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, then it's not going to work. If you were a Red Sox fan, I was going to ask you, do you want Chris Sale pitching in this game?
And don't I want to for pride's sake, and that's the same reason Sale would pitch.
And that's, boy, that's silly. You want your guy out there for pride?
I was going to say, what's pride get to do with anything? I don't want anything to do with the All-Star game. And I am a lifelong baseball fan. And you know, obviously spent a lot of time around the game. I earned a living around it, for crying out loud. So I do like the game. And I think the All-Star game blows. I think it sucks. And so it's a complete waste of time, if you ask me. I would rather they use the All-Star game as a laboratory, is how I say it, where you can experiment and try things in baseball that you might be able to implement in the future. Pitch clock, starting a runner on second base to see what that does for offenses in extra innings. You want to get crazy and eliminate a ball and make it three balls, three strikes? Fine. I'm in. Do it in the All-Star game. Let's see what it looks like. To me, that's the spot. Then people might watch. Huh, they're going to try something new this year. Let me see what this looks like. That's the place to do it, instead of doing it in the Arizona Fall League where all anyone can do is read reports about it rather than actually witness the game. Like, that's the spot. The game itself? Come on. They tried to attach some sort of significance to it with that whole stupid World Series gimmick, and that's what it was, a gimmick. So if you're going to, and then they switch back because they recognize how stupid it was. The players don't want to do it. Interleague play has eliminated that whole novelty aspect of it. Mookie Betts faced Max Scherzer 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Great. He's going to see him on the first pitch tonight. Whoopee. This is something I haven't seen in a while. Like, all the novelty of it's all gone. It's gone.
Meanwhile, Bryce Harper, his importance to the game, we discuss right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
One home run to become the Home Run Derby champion in 18.
There it is.
Questions, Maz. One, do you like Bryce Harper?
No. I mean, no.
No, okay, good.
No.
Good. Is he good for the game?
Great for the game. He's great for the game.
Discuss.
And so I just think it's his whole, you know, there's a magnetism to Harper. And when I say that, positive or negative, good or bad, I think you watch him and he elicits a response. He evokes a reaction. So a guy like him, to me, you know, helps publicize the game. You know who he is. And so that thing last night with the hairband, you know, the whole sort of American approach, July 4th approach, I thought he looked like a complete clown. Like, the hairband was really a bit much. And so you can understand why people bristle toward him the way they do. But I thought that he was good theater last night. And honestly, I did not watch the Home Run Derby from beginning to end. In fact, I saw like 5 seconds of it. I watched it on highlights. But his interaction with the crowd and getting people into it and the energy he put into the Home Run Derby, he was the show. He was the only name in the whole thing. He was the only reason to watch it from the beginning. And that should tell you plenty. Bryce Harper is good for baseball.
No question. He's good for baseball because you don't like him. Or because some people don't like him, or because he's a lightning rod or polarizing. That's why he's good.
I mean, would you have dialed in to watch Mike Trout the same way you watch this guy?
Oh, so I was just going to ask you this question. Same series of questions. Do you like Mike Trout?
Yeah, I guess.
Is he good for the game?
No.
Okay, same thing. So same.
Not as good. How about that? Right. Not even close to as good.
And so Murray sent along a story to me earlier in the day where they were comparing Q ratings. And they, you know, they measured Mike Trout's Q rating. Guess who has a comparable Q rating to Mike Trout? So Mike Trout, arguably the best player in Major League Baseball, has a certain Q rating. I don't know what that number is called, 23, whatever that stupid number is. What commensurate NBA player has the same Q rating? And you know what they had as the comparison?
This is unbelievable.
Go ahead, Murray.
Kenneth Faried. Reserve forward Kenneth Faried, who was traded by the Nuggets to the Brooklyn Nets last week in a salary dump.
Meaning, as many people have heard of Kenneth Faried as they have Mike Trout.
That's pathetic for baseball.
pathetic.
It is pathetic for baseball. And Rob Manfred was asked about this today at the All-Star game. He does an annual press conference at the All-Star game every year. And his answer was, you know, the question to him was, can you do more to market Mike Trout? And his answer was, well, you know, we'd love to market Mike Trout, but some of it depends on the player. It felt to me like he put it on Trout. Like, if Trout wants to expand his brand and his profile and all of that, we'll be happy to help him with it, but it doesn't sound like Trout wants to do it. And I would say, overall, this is part of the problem in baseball, is that guys are discouraged from doing that sort of thing because it becomes about me, 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 and then you become Bryce Harper and you're an a-hole. So I would say baseball's got to get out of that way of thinking because it's really hurting the game.
I like his old man. I like Harper's old man. So I go back to Bryce Harper. I mean, that was... What a pair, huh? You see the guns on that guy? So I meant to look this up before. I just did. Guess what his father does?
No idea.
He's an iron worker.
Oh, that fits.
He's an iron worker in Las Vegas. I thought he was a former athlete or something, bodybuilder. Or I mean, you see the gun show there from that guy. But I mean, what a pair. But they're polarizing. I mean, Harper comes off as sort of a hard-o, and that get up and his attitude.
Oh, the hair.
And, you know, the old man, like the whole thing, it's, you know, you like it, you don't like it, but that's good. That's good. Every enterprise needs the guy you love, the guy you hate, you know, and Trout just isn't that. He's just a flat line.
I mean, Harper, you're drawn to him. You are. It's impossible not to be drawn to him with the hair, the body language, the whole, he just oozes dink, doesn't he? He does. He oozes like dink. He's the guy that you look at and go, look at this complete tool who just walked in. Look at this guy with the hair and the pants and the shirt or whatever it is. Look at the way he's dressed and carried. This guy's an a-hole. Like, he doesn't even have to open his mouth. You just look at him and say, this guy is a tool. Tool bag.
All right, so those are Home Run Derby thoughts. Back to your calls. Here's Dan in Hanover or the car, wherever you are. Dan, go ahead. You're up next.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to jump in on the Devers kind of Mike Moustakas trade you guys were talking. I don't know if you guys followed Jared Karrabas at all, but he's been hinting that the Red Sox might be interested in making a splash during the trade deadline. And I think, by the way, he's been talking, it would potentially be Nolan Arenado, which I know it sounds like a big name, but if you think about it, he's a rental a year and a half. You'd be giving up a guy like Devers or maybe a couple other pieces. I wanted to see what your guys' thoughts would be on something like that.
Arenado, the Rockies?
Yeah, third baseman. Yeah. He's filthy.
Huge numbers.
Filthy good.
Is it those Colorado numbers or those?
My recollection was that they always were. I was just calling that up as you said it. I want to see what they are this year and what they are career. But the other thing with him is he's a sensational defensive player. So, you know, would I consider a guy like that? Sure. Yeah, but again, now you're creating another salary problem in the shorter term. He said a year and a half. So I'm assuming that means Arenado's up for free agency at the end of next year. But, you know, he's a stud. I mean, he's an absolute stud. So I'd still rather have a bullpen arm in the short term. I mean, if they get just Arenado and they don't add a bullpen arm, I don't know if they're good enough.
Right, that's treading water. Or you've just, and you know, your offense is better, but that's not the issue. You know, I just wonder if these names are coming up because Devers is on the table. And so they look at Moustakas in another deal, or they look, you know, something like this, and it's all a piece of the same thing, that Devers is available now.
So I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, you know, look, if I'm them, I keep Devers, but maybe there's been something there with Devers that we don't know about or that they see. I'd hold on to him. I told you, though, if it was Machado in Britain, if I could get both of those guys, I'd move Devers.
Derek's in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys have been hating on the Home Run Derby. I mean, that was great theater last night. You have Bryce Harper in his home stadium. All the pressure was on him. He could have easily crapped out in the first round, but he goes out and wins the thing. I mean, that was a ballsy performance.
Okay, so I did tune over. I told you before, Derek, I couldn't take the sitar player on Jules Holland. So I did tune over. I watched the last 10 minutes of that thing. I watched the last two rounds. It was Schwarber and him in the final. And then what was the semi? What was the one right before it? I can't remember.
It must have been real compelling for you to forget it that quickly.
It was Harper beat the guy 13-12. Who was? Whatever. I did watch it. So don't act like I didn't. I did watch the thing. But did you really just say it was a ballsy performance in the Home Run Derby? Does such a thing exist?
That's what he said, yeah.
So how do you feel about that, Murray?
I'd rather stare at the wall. I didn't watch that thing last night.
You must hate baseball.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no.
It's obvious you hate baseball.
Yes, you hate baseball. Damn you, Jim.
You hate it.
No, it's just useless. You get nothing out of that thing. It's for children. I may act like a child in a lot of ways in my life, but I don't care enough to act like a child to watch the effing home run derby. It's a waste of time. I don't care. That's a great theater. Ooh, all the pressure on Bryce Harper. All the pressure. Yeah, that's why he's out there. I at least saw the highlights. He's wearing the thing you've mentioned, the headband. The hair is flowing.
Hairband.
Yeah. He looked real. Ooh, he looked sweaty and real tense up there. All the pressure on him, please.
It's just a show. He was down. He hit like 7 home runs in the last minute. I think
it was 9 in the final like 48 seconds or something.
And then he got his bonus time. And he won in the bonus time. You get bonus time, Murray, for hitting balls over 440 feet or something like this. See, I watched. I engaged in it. I did. I have a hard time saying anyone had a ballsy performance in the home run derby, though. I really have a hard time with that.
No, the last time I felt that way is when D. Brown won the dunk contest. I thought that was a ballsy performance like 30 years ago when he won the dunk contest. It's one of the great demonstrations of athletic grit and absolute just pure sack that I have seen in sports.
Murray, people were outraged that a lot of American League stars primarily sat out of the thing. How do you feel about that?
Bunch of babies. Who cares?
Who are the babies?
Well, I heard McCarthy yesterday, too, sitting here. It's a shame that J.D. Martinez isn't in the home run derby. Oh, it's a shame? And I love Matt McCarthy, and I know how important baseball is to him, but he should know better. If it's that important to you, in the season that J.D. Martinez is having, you don't want him in this thing, so it screws up his swing like it did Aaron Judge last year. And you've seen this before. Guys hack away, swing out of their ass, and they're different for the remainder of the season. Sometimes it happens to pitchers, too. Pedro in 99. Okay, that was a great performance. We can talk about it. Did it ultimately matter? You want to have these guys in top performance for the second half of the season. Feels like more often than not, guys end up screwing themselves up because they're swinging too hard or trying to get, you know, X amount of strikeouts and prove something on this stage that doesn't matter.
I want my players nowhere near that thing.
Oh, God, please keep them away.
Nowhere near it.
What did McCarthy sound like again?
No, it's a shame.
That's not. That's now. He's got a very professional broadcasting voice.
It sounded a little like Happy Walters.
Like most of the people around here, except for Maz and I. All right, here's a 90-second update from Jim Murray. No commercials. Right back for a final hour.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.